to Coog with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
Slight one-handed pass back for Fenix. Back for Coleman. On it goes for the one forward. Michael Andrews is in under the post.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbit Eyes Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by my loyal co-host and friend, Darren Brownie Brown. What's going on, Brownie?
Yeah, not too bad, chaps. And g'day to all the listeners out there. It's been a big couple of days for the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Well, it was a huge day today, mate. Just waking up to the news that Tommy Burgess has signed a couple-year deal over there with Huddersfield starting next season. And Campbell Graham, a little bit of news breaking this afternoon that he's going to be out for up to 6 months.
Yeah, that's shocking news for both Campbell and the Rabbitohs. I thought Campbell, he's been carrying this injury for the last 12 months. And prior to that, he was probably one of the best centres in the game. Talking about State of Origin, he actually made the State of Origin squad last year, had to pull out because of this sternum injury. And yeah, it's devastating news for both Campbell and the club. And well, Tom Burgess, that's devastating news as well, because I think Tom Burgess is in the greatest form of his career over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I've seen a few people question the three-year deal, but I know how professional Tommy is. He gets his body in good nick week in, week out, year after year. And it's sort of the end of an era of 14 years with the Burgess brothers. But we're going to do a little episode on both those subjects later on. We're here for another reason, and I'd like to introduce the Jersey Flag head coach, Chris Tippy O'Connell, mate. Welcome to Rabbitohs Radio, mate.
Thanks, chaps. Thanks, Brownie, for having me. Looking forward to it.
No worries, mate. Now, we want to learn a little bit about yourself, mate, and where'd you grow up and all that sort of stuff, mate.
All right. So I grew up at Alexandria. So when I was a real young fella, I lived in Alexandria for a while. My mum and dad split, and then my mum sort of moved around a bit, sort of Coogee, Bondi, Randwick, and my dad was at Bondi, and my dad's family are all like died in the war, Bondi United sort of people. So I sort of jumped around between Bondi and the eastern suburbs. And I've sort of been living in this area ever since, sort of Maroubra through my teenage years, and I'm back there now.
So jumping between the two clubs too?
Yeah.
Terms of the Roosters and the Rabbitohs.
So I started with Zetland. I actually played with Slat, so Troy Slattery was in my team, or I was in his team, I should say, when we were growing up. And then I played with Rovers for a year or two. And then I jumped over the fence, over the border to Bondi, and played for Bondi United. And then I came back and played for Wombats in the South Comp.
You must be happy to see the Rovers have a bit of a resurgence, and they're getting 50-odd people to training. There's been some reports, mate, and possibly putting in a couple of grades this year.
Yeah, it's good, because I know they went through a bit of a tough time where they struggled to field many teams a few years back. But yeah, they won the A reserves last year, and yeah, from all reports, they're looking pretty strong this year in those two senior teams.
Yeah, what about your youngest memories, mate, of watching footy on TV? Did you have a player you used to love watching?
Well, I got brought up, like some would know, but a lot don't. Like my grandfather and my great uncle both were well regarded footballers. So my great uncle was Wally O'Connell. He captained the 1948 Kangaroos. So he played with Manly and the Roosters, and my grandfather Ron, who was Wally's brother, played at the Roosters and Manly as well. So they're very well-known figures. So my youngest memory is probably my grandfather taking me to games and stuff like that. SCG, the old Sydney Sports Ground. I vividly remember that, and him sort of knocking around with a few of his older mates back in the day. And I remember watching on TV. Probably my first TV memory was around like the old Magpies and Manly days, Les Boyd, Tommy Radonikis against Manly, and those battles they had. And I was actually a Magpie supporter growing up, so I don't know whether that influenced me at all, but I vividly remember that. And then probably clear memories of the Manly and Para sort of rivalry in the early 80s. So I've got fond memories of that, yeah.
Just going back to Western Suburbs, the old Lidcombe Oval days where a lot of the fans used to sit on the ground inside the fence. It certainly changed.
Yeah. It's funny because we actually played at Lidcombe last year with the Fleg. So Yeah, it's a funny sort of ground, but yeah, a lot of history there, definitely.
Look, you got rugby league in the blood there, mate. Yeah. Tell us a bit more about your grandfather.
Yeah, well, so my grandfather Ron, as I said, yeah, he was an old wharfie. He was like all tied up in the wharfies back in the day, and he was on the union, very strong unionist and all that sort of stuff, Labour man. So I remember all that growing up as well. And then he just, yeah, he loved rugby league, and I'd spend a fair bit of time with those, my grandparents growing up, because my mum and dad had split, so sometimes you'd sort of spend time with your grandparents. So I spent a fair few weekends with my grandparents at Bondi in Warners Avenue there. But yeah, my grandfather would do everything for me, take me to junior sport, cricket, footy. He'd quite often talk about old stories, you know, when he was playing, and he owned a pub up in North Queensland, so he sort of jumped around a bit. But yeah, he was a good old fella, and I also remember he started a thing called, it was like a lawn bowls, footy bowls or something. Like it might have been in the late 80s, early 90s, where he got the old traditional sort of kangaroo players up to Waverley Bowling Club. They wore their old jerseys, and it was just a day for all those old fellas to get together, but they were representing their old club, and he organised that. And he was a member out at the SCG, so I'd quite often go out there and watch games. And I remember he'd drop me out there, he'd drop me into the noble stand, he'd go into the members all day, and then I'd sit there and watch the game, then come back and we'd go home, you know. So he's a legend, and his brother Wally was the one who captained the Kangaroos in 1948. So a lot of stories sort of from those guys as I was growing up.
Have you got any stories about Wally? Obviously not too many people can say they've captained Australia in rugby league, mate.
I think from memory he might have made the Manly team of the century, and I know Bob Fulton was a 5'8 as well, so he was a 5'8 Wally, but I'm pretty sure he made the Manly greatest ever team. Yeah. So yeah, bit of history there.
Yeah, no, definitely, mate. Obviously a lot of rugby league in your blood. What age did you stop playing and venture into the coaching side of things?
I think my last year playing, I actually played A reserves at Wombats. It might have been the first year even of the A reserves comp in South Junior. So a lot of the boys that you guys would know, the Maroubra sort of boys, my sort of close mates, we all formed a team, and yeah, it was a bit of a loose team, a bit of a party sort of team and stuff like that.
Who was in that team, mate? It might be loose.
Oh, all the Rogers boys. So Hayden, Nathan, Bunchy were in it. Mark Fisher was in it. Oh, Corey Dunn was in it.
Pretty much all the 400 club there, chaps.
Yeah, it was all those boys. Yeah. Secchi was in it. Yeah. Corey Banton was in it. Yeah.
What position did you play?
I was always in the halves, and yeah, I wasn't the best footy player, but I was good on the verbal and stuff, put it that way. Yeah, I was one of those blokes.
Well, you've got to be a good communicator when you're a teacher and a coach, mate. So, now, whereabouts do you work at the moment?
So, I'm working at Marsland. So, I've been there since 1999. I had 1 year off when I moved up to Tweed, but pretty much I've been there from 99 up until now.
Wow, it's a long stint there, mate. You would have seen a lot of good players come through the system, and we're going to get your best 13 that you've coached. So I know you've got a couple more than 13. You couldn't narrow it down. But what about some of the players that have come through the Marsland system even before you were there? Yeah.
Well, when I first started working at Marsland was in 99. Like Braith Anasta was in year 12. Luke Brannigan was in year 12. I think Michael Russo, I think all those three might have played Australian schoolboys that year, if not the next year. So that was my first year as a teacher there. And since then, there's been heaps. So when we come to the list, but yeah, Clarkey was there, Jace Clark was there in my early days. And yeah, there's a long, long list. But I know it's been a bit of a breeding ground for good footy players in the area. Yeah, it's probably a little bit different now, just the demographic and the dynamic of this area that we live. We're probably not producing as many footballers as we once did. Bit like the junior league, not as big and as widespread as it was. But yeah, we're still getting some pretty good players coming through. Yeah.
So you're talking about the demographics. So a lot of them good players now are coming from out west and the sports schools out west, because a lot of people, affordability, can live out there.
Yes, a lot of the good footy players now are probably going into the state system. Yeah, obviously the cost of living in the eastern suburbs is pretty high. So yeah, we're probably not getting the knockabout sort of young fellas that we might have got previously. Mm. But the sports high schools, yeah, have sort of taken some of those boys too,
well,
I think.
We spoke to Benny Hill about it last week, didn't we, chaps? We've still got a good crop of junior league players that come through, and the whole idea is to keep them involved and sign them up. But then obviously you've got to look and think outside the square in terms of signing other players as well.
Yeah. And with Marsden, it's always been sort of a bit of a divide. There's been a bit of a Roosters element there and also a South element. So we've had sort of a few from both clubs go there, and, you know, and it's kind of in the middle of both areas, I suppose. So it sort of feeds to both clubs in a way, but hopefully we're getting more South boys coming through than Roosters at the moment.
When I was going there, it was like that. I remember Jeff Orford come to do a bit of a raffle, give out. Jeff. I think it was a raffle for a Roosters jersey or something like that. And he was there. He was a bit of a star back in the day on the big unit, wasn't he?
Vince Waite, he used to be an old coach at the Roosters. I think he coached Flegg. He was a pretty well-renowned coach. He was a teacher at Marsden, yeah. So he probably had a bit of a Roosters influence there. So, yeah, I remember that.
Mate, you just mentioned some superstars, and we're just going to get your best 13 that you've been involved with through that Marsden system. And listeners, get your pen ready because there's some talented players in this list.
So as you alluded to before, like I tried to think of like a best 13, but then I kind of didn't want to leave anyone out. I reckon I've probably forgotten a few, to be fair, anyway. But all the boys I've come up with here, I think they've pretty much all played NRL or New South Wales Cup, or they've been an Australian schoolboy. So probably one of those three criteria all the players have met. So if I sort of to roughly look in positions, like a kid by the name of Will Harrison. Will Harrison played for the Waratahs. He still runs around in rugby. He's had a lot of injuries of late. He was in the same year group as Campbell Graham. Will was a really, really good footballer, but he's been struck by a lot of injuries. But, I've had a little bit to do with Will. Johnny Mitsios and Nick Mugios, both pretty well known in Souths. I think Nick's playing New South Wales Cup for maybe Manly this year or Tigers potentially, and Johnny's sort of still running around maybe in Ron Massey Cup somewhere. But they were both like really good outside backs, flies. Both came up through
part
Souths
of that
juniors.
Team that won the flag competition, I think, a few years ago.
Yeah, potentially, but they played all their junior footy, Harold Matz, Bunnies, SG Ball at Souths. Matty Evans was a gun player coming up. So Matty from Mascot, I think he played a lot of years at Newtown, obviously in that New South Wales Cup. He was a fair player, Matt. Alex Thomas, so Axe, he captained the Roosters flag for a couple of years back in the day, and then probably retired a little bit too early. But he was a really good footy player coming through. Obviously, one I've had a little bit to do with has been Campbell Graham. So I remember I coached Campbell in the under-15s Catholic Colleges team. So I picked him in that. And then I coached him in the under-18s Catholic Colleges as well. So I've had a little bit to do with Campbell. He's always been just a standout, like a great, great fella, great footy player, just a great human. So I'm stoked that he's kicked on.
He captained the Australian schoolboys too?
Yeah, I think in his second year, he made it 2 years in a row. So he's been outstanding. Timmy Bennett was at Marsden. So Timmy's still getting around playing A grade. Like he was a really good footballer.
Played in the last two A grade finals for the Mato Tigers. Spent a bit of time over in France. Yeah. A long time.
Yeah.
With another South Junior, Mark Corella. I think he was over there playing with Mark for a bit.
Aaron Gray. So Aaron Gray was a Marsden boy. So I coached Az a bit at school. Obviously his career was pretty strong, you know. He played many years in the NRL.
Try-scoring machine.
Yep.
Big carry on him, yeah. Strong boy.
Both the Butcher boys, so Egan and Nat, both went through Marsden. So they were, excellent players. Nat, in that Harold Matz side that I coached Brownie, that your young bloke Jaden was in, Nat was the captain. And I think he got the player of the year that year too in a successful team. So he was always a really, really good footy player. And, another great personality, great human being.
Australian schoolboy once again.
Josh Cook. So Josh Cook went through Marsden. Like, very good player, Josh. Once again, a few injuries in the past couple of years with his knees, I believe. But, he was really good. I had Jackson and Bronson Garlick, both of those two boys.
Yeah.
Bronson's obviously playing NRL at the moment with Melbourne.
What a great story, Bronson Garlick.
Just a workhorse, isn't he?
Yeah.
He sort of was in probably wasn't the best of the Garlick boys growing up, I don't think, but just worked really hard. He played halfback in our school A-grade team that we won the grand final, and now he was a nine, and now he's playing a bit as a back rower and just toiled away at the Dogs, I remember, in New South Wales Cup for many years. And, he's in Melbourne and he's just found another leg.
Just stuck at it, was consistent, just kept training hard, kept working hard, whatever club he was at, Newtown or like you said, the Bulldogs. And that's what Melbourne like. They love them players in their system, just doing their job. And that's why Bronson is really suited to their style.
Well, sometimes desire wins out over talent. You can be as talented as you like, but if you don't love the game, you have don't have a desire to be where you want to get to, it's not going to work out, is it?
Lockie Lamb, so Lachlan, he went all through Marsland, so I had a little to do with Lachlan at school.
Good player.
Yep.
Won the Challenge Cup last year, kicked the winning field goal.
Yep, he did. And most of those guys were backs other than obviously Nat, but in the forwards, Jace Clark, he was a halfback growing up though, that then transitioned into the forward pack.
Yeah.
Bo Falloon, Bo went through there, so I taught Bo.
Josh, very fit, both of them, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like he works at our work and we see him in the gym and he just flogs
good
himself.
Good trainer, yeah.
Shane Whitelaw, so you probably remember Shane.
Yeah.
Australian schoolboys, played reserve grade at the Bears for a few years, then went up and played at Tweed.
I think he was playing last year for the Dolphins. I could be
wrong. Yeah, I think he was.
I've seen him running around. He's still in good nick.
Yeah.
Josh and Ethan Natoli. So Ethan's now playing over in the Super League. They just got promoted, his team. Josh has just got a start up in, I think, Serena, maybe up there, up in the Queensland area. Two Australian schoolboy front rowers, Tom Giles and Lachlan Gale. Mm. So they both represented Australian schoolboys in the same year.
And both now playing at young cherry pickers.
I think Tom's the captain coach, isn't he?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a weird one because he was doing well down here and then all of a sudden he just went home, didn't he?
Yep.
Well, I don't know if young is home, but... he went back to the bush and obviously maybe a little bit of homesick, but it's good to see him still playing. And
big unit, Tommy Giles. Big unit.
Spoke to Lockie Gale the other day and he said he's taking his game out there.
Yeah, good. Ethan O'Neill. Actually, I was just talking to Ethan just earlier today, but he's now up with the Broncos. So he's on a trainer trial or a dev up there. So,
He had a good year last year.
Yeah, he was strong.
New South Wales Cup. I think he played every game. And 90% of the games he played 80 minutes. So.
And a try scorer. He knows where the try line is. He was always scoring
nice
tries. Yeah.
Probably wouldn't get many more dedicated than Ethan. He's always had a bit of a vision and a goal to be a footy player and he's made a lot of sacrifices and put a lot of effort and time into his football. Kobe Ruglis and Zane, obviously, who's still playing now, but Kobe's playing reserve grade now, I think, maybe at Manly.
Manly, yeah.
Another real good footballer, but he... So I think he left our school in year 10 was Lathan Hutchinson Walters. I don't know if you remember Lathan.
Yeah, he was very was he originally from Newcastle?
Yeah, he was a gun. Yeah. He was really good. I think he might have played when Sam Burgess coached the North Coast side.
Right.
I think Lathan might have played in that team, but I think he's up the North Coast somewhere. But he was good. He played in year 10 in our A grade team and was outstanding and then he left and I think he might have gone to Waverley for a couple of years after that.
I think he was labelled the best at a 15. He's labelled the best 15-year-old in Australia at the schoolboys tournament up in Queensland. So
Tommy Simons. So most of you remember Tommy
Big
Simons.
Tommy.
I think he works for the RLPA now.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he went through Marsland, so I had a little bit to do with Tom growing up. He was a Bondi United boy as well, so I knew his family from Bondi. My youngest brother played footy with him growing up. There's a few. So it'd be hard to sort of squeeze him into a 1-13. Curtis Priest was a good footy player. Yeah. Still getting around now. Yeah, I think we've got four boys that might be in the current SG Ball squad and maybe four that are in the Harold Matts squad that are at Marsland or have been through Marsland.
Yeah. Mate, some quality players there that you've just mentioned. Like you said, they've all gone on to higher levels after school. But, mate, you mentioned that you've coached in the rep systems at the school. Tell us a little bit about your coaching experience from day one.
I first started coaching at South in the Junior Bunnies. So I was coaching our school under-13s team, I believe. And then I don't know how it happened, but I remember Keith McCraw had a little bit to do with it. So I'd spoken to Keith and then I think that's how I got an opportunity with the under-13s Junior Bunnies, I think as a trainer originally. So I might have been a trainer for a couple of years and then I ended up getting a coaching job with the 13s and then went to the 14s and then sort of went to the 15s and then assistant Harold Matts at South for a couple of years and then head coach at South for 4 years with the Matts. And then an opportunity came up at the Roosters, so I went over there and coached the Mats and the Ball there, 1 year each. Then I ended up going down to the Sharks, and I had the SG Ball down there for 3 years. Then I moved up for family reasons up to Kingscliff, and I got an opportunity to coach Tweed Seagulls, the women's team. So I'd never coached in the women's space before, but I coached the Queensland Cup version of the women.
Okay.
So that was good, and I was sort of a little bit affiliated with the Titans in their first year in the NRLW. But at that time, I'd sort of moved back to Sydney, so I was sort of trying to commute between here and there. So that sort of job didn't sort of take me too much further. And
I've seen you at Taru one day.
Yeah.
On the commute.
Yeah. And then I was just back here, and I'm good mates with Brent Hill, and I sort of helped him out with his Coogee Wombats teams. And then an opportunity came up with the flag side last year to get back involved at that high level, and I did that, and I'm doing it again this year. And that's sort of the club stuff, but I've been pretty involved in the New South Wales Catholic Colleges system. So I coached the under-15s for, I think, two seasons, and then I progressed up to the 18s and was involved there as an assistant for one, and then head coach for three. So coaching some elite sort of players at that level has been, massive for me. Like, just developed me a lot, learning to manage different personalities and seeing how some of the boys work and prepare. I reckon that's helped me a lot on my coaching journey, yeah.
When you first get a squad, looks like you've had a few squads.
Yeah.
How do you bring them together, and how do you sort out who's who in the zoo?
I think experience helps. So when you first start out, I think you're probably a little bit more set in your ways, and you're potentially a little bit more black and white with standards and that type of thing. But I think I've probably developed and got better at managing people differently. Like, with different squads, you can't treat everybody the same, and you can't have the same protocols and systems that might have worked with last year's squad or with this group. I think you've got to adapt to the players and the personalities you have. And I honestly believe that visually watching other coaches and how they do that, and listening to podcasts and just experiencing it on the ground, makes you better at that. So I feel like, yeah, experience and just, yeah, treating people differently and trying to build that team sort of culture and that team first mentality has always been, yeah, a pretty important part of that.
Tip, you just mentioned other coaches and their ideas and philosophies in the coaching game. Is there one coach in particular that you love what he does, you love what he does in the box, you love his demeanour, he doesn't get up and shout? But what are your thoughts on?
That's a hard one, because I know my own style has probably changed a bit. I probably was a little bit too full on in my early sort of coaching days. I think I'm a lot more relaxed now, but obviously there's still some days when you're not going to be, and people might say, you're kidding yourself. But I think there's probably no one in particular that I sort of model myself on, but I think Ivan Cleary now is probably a good example of a bloke that always seems calm and in control, do you know, even under the most stressful situations. So, but some of the coaches that do kind of rant and rave have probably got real strengths and attributes as well. So I think I probably just try and just learn from my own experiences and try and be better each year. So things that I didn't do well the previous year, I'll probably reflect on that and try and look at ways that I can be better. But definitely trying to be a little bit more relational, something that I've tried to build. And wanting the players to feel comfortable around you, therefore you're probably going to get more out of them rather than sort of cracking the whip.
Yeah, well said, mate.
So you talked about some squads you can be real disciplined with, and the next year you come and you've got to be the looser squad.
Yeah.
Give us a few examples of some squads that are a little bit more loose and you just couldn't really rein them in, you had to let them go.
I think it's more the personalities within the team. I think you start with like the certain expectations and the culture that you want to build. But then you make the boys or the players feel comfortable within that, you know what I mean? And I try and make myself open if they've got concerns or they've got issues or they've got personal problems going on, to come and talk to me about that or talk to the other staff. I think that helps. Then they'll feel comfortable around you. I still think you still need to have those standards. Otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of the impact. But, yeah, I probably can't think of one squad that was worse than another. I think just the personalities are different. I remember vividly working with like Adam Fanua Blake when he was younger, and Adam was like, I always got on with him really well. He was a bit of a rough diamond, I suppose, but I loved working with him. I remember I used to sometimes pick him up for training and drop him home and just having conversations with players I think
building their trust.
You build a bit of trust with them, and I think they'll want to play for you because they know that you're a human as well, you know. And we all make mistakes, but in the end, you got their best interest at heart.
I suppose that's the best place to get them to, Tib, is one-on-one because the coaching ages that you're used to, a lot of the kids wouldn't talk.
Yeah,
and they're probably a little bit
can't be themselves.
That's right, 100%. But if you got them one on one, they probably release it a little bit more.
I think of them, and culturally, it's different as well. You know, different cultures respond differently to different styles of coaching. You know, and I've probably learnt that putting people on show and spraying people in a group environment is probably not a great idea. You know, some people can cope that, but you've got to understand who's okay with that and who's not. So I think just learning about different cultures, and that helps as well, and individuals and their upbringing, and maybe some things that they've gone through as younger blokes, they're more inclined to like a certain style than others. And as I said, I think I've still got a lot of work to do on that, you know, but I think I've probably got better just understanding individuals.
You spoke about trying to coach everyone and to just work better as a team.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a team game, but at the same time, you're going to get individuals that want the ball and they want this and they won't want to pass. How do you sort of, not coach it out of them being an individual, but just get them to buy into that team mentality?
I think like early days at the start of the season, or when you get them really, really pushing that team first mentality and having little structures and little sort of philosophies around that, and just keep reminding the boys that it's rugby league's a team sport. And I quite often say that if you want to be an individual, don't play rugby league, play an individual sport. Because I think we all want our individuals to shine, but unless they're working together, the team's not gonna work together, you're not gonna get the right results. So yeah, sometimes it's difficult conversations that you have to have with players about, it's not about you, it's about the team. And I know you might want to do this or that, but you need to understand that when the team does well, that's going to help you individually as well. And I know working with younger sort of fellas, they are heavily influenced by parents and player managers, I suppose, to a lesser extent. So sometimes I'm telling them one thing and maybe their mum or dad or their uncle or their manager's telling them something different, you know, because they're trying to increase their value or make them stand out individually rather than do their job for the team. So I think it's just about continually reinforcing the importance of the team. And we've done a lot of work in the last couple of years just on team activities. Like we had a bit of a lunch last week, and we do a lot of things as a group where they have to buy in as a team. And I think that probably helps that a little bit, so they know that they're not one out. You know, they're all in it together. And
especially a new guy in the squad, and you come from a different area, different background, different culture, like you said. It's important, those sort of things, to make them feel part of the team, and so the more dominant personalities can get to know these sort of guys.
We do little things after training where the boys have to talk about themselves and introduce themselves and try and pair them up with someone they don't know, and just little things like most coaches would be doing. But yeah, that's all about trying to gel the team. And but yeah, you're still going to get boys that sort of play for themselves, you know, and in certain moments and time. But yeah, it's a tough one to get that out of them completely is probably a process.
Mate, we're going to touch on the team very short squad for 2024. Yep. But the systems in place probably changed from when I was playing, but is it the same from the first grade all the way down to, say, the Harold Matsui's days in terms of their systems and the way they want them playing?
Yeah. So when I took the job last year, Joe O'Callaghan was the one that I met with. So Joe's sort of my first initial contact with South. So he was a big part of probably me getting the job, as well as Ello. But yeah, Joe, I'd speak to Joe a lot, and he was pretty clear on it's like a club philosophy, you know, like sort of the sets, the shapes that we run, the defensive structures and systems that they're employing at NRL. We're trying to do the same thing all the way through. And obviously, it's the smart way to do it, and it makes a transition from players from grade to grade pretty seamless. So we have boys that jump from flag to cup fairly regularly. So that transition has to be smooth, and like doing the same systems and running the same types of sets and shapes obviously helps that. We've still got our own little spin on a few little things. So it's not like robotic where it's identical, but it's very similar, yeah. And I know the Harold Matson SG ball are doing things the same way. So it's a club mentality, which is really good, and that's helped even with staff. Like the staff, JD and his staff, have been really open and like allowing us to come to training and watch things and ask questions and observe and stuff. So we're learning from the way the coaches do things as well.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And must be frustrating at times, especially your grade.
Yep.
A lot of players, like you said, going up and down. Sometimes you probably haven't got the same squad 2 to 3 weeks in a row, but the whole idea is to get that player ready to play the next level. And you must get a big thrill of that when they go up and perform well.
Yeah, well, South is a club, and you would hear it like they are like a development club, you know, which means we're trying to develop as many players to become future NRL players. So sometimes that means you're going to take a hit on the scoreboard, you know, but it's for the right reason. So as the coach, maybe it doesn't look that great for you individually, but it's probably not so much about wins and losses. But as you said, Brownie, if you're producing NRL players and they're being taught well, and then they jump into Cup and then hopefully to NRL, yeah, that it does give you a thrill, and you know you're sort of doing the right thing for the club by instilling those club values.
And you had some guys last year that sort of bumped up and progressed, and they've been doing a whole NRL preseason. Tell us a bit about some of those individuals that you had there.
Yeah, so I know this year, like Emmanuel Di Bartolo was with us last year. He's done a full NRL preseason. He's playing in the NRL trial this weekend. Not 100% sure when he's going to come back to us. I think he will come back to Flegg at some point, but he'll most likely go, I'm thinking, between Flegg and maybe Cup, depending on form and that type of thing. But yeah,
where do you think he's best positioned in? We've seen him play in a few different positions in the halves. I've seen him play fullback.
To be honest, I don't know. Like, I like him as a half, and most of his footy has been in the halves, and he's got a really good rugby union background where he's an amazing kicker of the footy. Like, kicks the ball a mile and high, and he's a really dedicated young man. But in round 3 last year, I actually put him at fullback when we played Penrith. I don't know whether he played fullback before, but we actually won that game, and he was one of the best on the field. And I know watching the Matto A grade last year, he played fullback a fair bit. In the grand final, they lost, but he was probably the man of the match in a losing team. So I don't know, the way footy's played these days, sometimes when you're playing like an on-the-ball seven, like the six and the one are kind of the same, you know. One's playing out the back on the left generally on the short side, and the one's doing the same thing. So if we were to go with a style like that, he might end up being a six or a one. I don't know, but he's got the attributes to be a seven though as well, because he talks really well, he kicks, he runs the footy, but he can also play that six sort of one role too, yeah. We had, Leon Tehau, we've still got a few boys that are Flegg age that are up with the NRL. So over the course of the year, there might be some of those boys that come back. Last season, we had Louis Grosmy did the NRL preseason. But it was made very clear to me that my job was to help sort of in that development pathway. And it's not about sort of getting your own team every week and winning. But obviously, we want to win and do our best. But, yeah, it's exciting to develop some players too.
Yeah, and we haven't really talked about leadership. Look, how do you find a leader in a squad?
Leadership, you can take that a few ways. Sometimes leaders are just blatantly obvious. Like, I'll take a guy like that we spoke about before, like Campbell Graham's one and Nat Butcher's another one. They're just natural leaders, not the world's biggest and greatest talkers, but just their work ethic, their training habits, their attention to detail,
like
their coachability. Like, you give an instruction, they'll look you in the eye and you know they're actually taking it all in, and obviously they're well respected by all their teammates. That's their obvious ones. But then sometimes it can be the one who talks a lot, but sometimes guys who talk a lot just talk to hear their own voice, you know. Like,
I think it
the key positions have traditionally been the leaders in rugby league terms, you know, but I'm sort of the opinion sometimes those key positions sometimes don't need the extra burden of being the leader as well, you know. So sometimes you can look around those guys, and Cam Murray's a great example in NRL. And I forgot to mention, he was a Marsden boy as well, but he only went there for a couple of years. But he's another one, like, just leads by action, so well respected, and he's tough, and you can't ask any more of him, you know. But yeah, leadership is a hard one. Sometimes you honestly look at a squad and it's hard to find leaders. And when we go through some tough times at training, quite often I'll say to the boys, this is where we need some leaders to stand up. And some sessions you get it and some you don't. So it's the constant challenge and a battle to try and to get those leaders to sort of put their head up.
Yeah, I'll just finish this while we brought up leadership, because I went past a couple of your training sessions early when you were at Marsden Fields. I think it was late 2023 there, and you were doing a couple of Broncos in the 2060-40s, and one of the big fellas was really struggling to get through it. He might have just come back from a big layoff or whatnot, and I noticed a couple of the guys that had finished a long time before him, they thought, let's get up and help him, run it with him. And just the three or four of them jumped up, and I just thought to myself, that's leadership right there, not leaving a guy behind who's struggling, because at the end of the day, you're all doing this together. And that was, it was a pretty important little moment there, and I thought you might have seen a few leaders in that moment there.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because that now happens fairly regularly. You know, when someone's struggling, whether it's the Bronco or a Condrill or whatever it might be, it's probably more than three or four that are doing that now. Do you know what I mean? So we've sort of, that's probably been the stepping stone to other boys looking at that going, geez, that's not a bad idea. I want to jump on board with that. So, yeah, we didn't ask them to do that. Like, no one was ever told that's what you need to do, but they've just taken it upon themselves to do that. And even another example, like when we're doing penalties, so they're making a lot of errors, so we might penalise them at training, and this team, you do them, you guys won the game, you don't have to do them, but some of the guys in the winning team will also jump in and do it, you know, that type of thing that, once again, it's not coached into them, but, yeah, they just do it. Yeah, so it's a hard one. Trying to find the right leader is a challenge, to be honest.
Mm. Mate, all the areas we just spoke about lead to pre-season, and you do all them things in pre-season. How has the pre-season been for you guys this year?
I've had that question asked of me a few times, like mainly by my mates and family and stuff. And I always say, I think every coach will tell you the pre-season's been good. Like if I said to you it hasn't been any good, you'd be going, what are you doing with them? You know, like I think it's been good again. I thought last year's pre-season was good, to be fair. But I think this year we've probably tightened it up in a few areas, and it's probably been better in a few little areas than what it was last year. Yeah, so physically they've been challenged. In the gym they've been challenged. Obviously with their conditioning they've been challenged. On the field with our skill drills and that type of thing they've been challenged. We've picked up a few areas that I felt like we probably weren't as strong in last year. I think we've tightened those up. But the pre-Christmas was outstanding. Post-Christmas, it's getting a little bit more game-oriented now. Like pre-Christmas, pretty much every team will be doing the same sort of training. You do a lot of running, you do a lot of fitness, a lot of gym, a lot of basic core skill. Now we're sort of implementing a few of the structures and that in place, so some of the sessions probably aren't as sharp as what they could be, but it's an education for them. They're learning, and as long as we don't have sort of back-to-back poor sessions, I know that we're on the right track, and there's definitely improvement there. And yeah, I'm pretty positive about how the boys have gone, to be honest. We've had a few injuries of late. Pre-Christmas, we had hardly any, but we've picked up a few sort of niggles in the post-Christmas phase that have hampered a few of our sessions. But all in all, I'm really happy how they're going.
No serious ones tipped to mention?
Like no season-ending ones. Yeah. We've had a couple of surgeries that the boys, like Archie Donnelly, you boys will know Archie, I think he's maybe a mid-year return. Another fella, Brandon Thompson, who came to us this year, I think he's maybe a 3 or 4 month. Drew Williams and Aaron Macy, boys you'd know as well. Yeah. Like Drew did his ankle a couple of weeks ago. It's not broken, but potentially some ligament damage there. Macy's done his hamstring a couple of times. So they're not long-term, but they're probably going to rule them out of maybe the early stages of the year anyway.
Early stages, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're not going as bad as the ball. They had a hell of a lot of injuries going in. So it looks like you'll be able to have a fair squad there. Now, just gazing the eye over the training that early in the season, haven't been to any others, but looked like there was a lot more size this year in distinctive size in your flag side. Can you tell us a bit about some of them forwards?
Yeah, I think I was telling Brownie when we spoke before that it's the side's definitely bigger physically. But I've said to everyone as well, it doesn't mean they're good footy players though. They're big, but we've got to see how they actually go under pressure on the field. But they're working really hard. Like some of the boys came to us or started in pretty poor physical condition, but a couple of the boys have lost 8, 9, 10 kilos, I believe. So their fitness is way better than where it was at the beginning. They've still got a fair way to go, but I'm thinking over the course of the year, some of the bigger boys will give us a bit of a point of difference from what we sort of needed last year. But we've got more genuine front rowers. Last year, we were playing a few boys in the middle that were probably locks. Not that there's a huge difference, but they were more suited to playing that link, that 13 role, but they had to play as genuine front rowers and stuff. But I think Joe and Brent and sort of the recruitment staff have done a really good job there actually getting some bigger bodies into our squad, which has been helped. And therefore, our contact sessions at training have probably been better, and the boys are learning to tackle bigger boys at training and stuff like that, which is helping the little fellas as well. So, yeah. So there's quite a few big boys there. Do you want me to name some of them?
That'll be the next question, mate. Yeah, just name a couple.
Well, some of the bigger boys that have come. We've got Tyrese Dungay. He's on a train and trial. He's a big fella that's come to us. Daniel Matakongo, you boys would know. He's been around a while. Daniel's a monster as well. Kobe Ingram, another fella. Played for RAB, I think A Reserves last year. He's a big boy. Noah Reid, I know you've spoken a fair bit about Noah in previous podcasts. So Noah's there.
Now tell us a little bit more about Noah's background from a coach's point of view.
I think he was a Newcastle boy, played in some of the strong junior rep sides up there, and then went to Parramatta, I think, might have grabbed him.
Yeah.
And
he then played flag for Parra last
year.
Yeah,
I think he played over 20 games there.
Yeah.
But I think he lives at the Central Coast and now he's with us. So, yeah, I don't know how he's ended up at South. Maybe Brent might have got him. But he, to get a bloke who played, I think, over 20 flag games as a front row last year is a pretty good get
and
for us.
And a year young as well and he's playing again.
Yeah,
this
year. So he's a good size, trains hard. But that's just the experience that he brings and, just...
Loves the contact.
Yeah, and just what he brings at training has been really good.
Yeah, that 20 games helps... Done at
100%.
You know what I mean? Going into the next year.
And they're a good team.
I'm going to lead the way. Come with me.
Yeah.
What about Toby Sullivan, mate?
Sully. So he's another one. So
his old man commentates the New South Wales Rugby League game. So I don't know if you know that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's a commentator.
I didn't know that.
Chatting to him the other day. So.
No. Yeah, Sully, he's been unreal. Like, for a big fella, his fitness is, extraordinary. Like, he's really, really fit. So, yeah, he's another one that's training the house down, doing everything right. They're sort of our genuine front rowers. And then we've obviously got Louis, who played as a front rower last year, that's the fittest in our team, just killing it. You know, everything he's doing at training is next level.
Well, he's a good stock too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he certainly does. Sam O'Brien, his mum a champion iron woman, so he's got great sporting blood. He was one of them players that you were just talking about where he had to move from that 13 edge player into the middle and probably restricted his game a little bit.
So, just because we probably, out of necessity, he played, I think, every game last year. He might have missed one, but more just as a starting front rower. So, taking the kickoff carries and playing big minutes. And, we just didn't have much around him in terms of we didn't have a lot of size. So, where we could potentially move him to the edge or to 13. I think he might have played a couple of games on the edge late in the year. But, the fact that he should be able to free up a little bit this year and potentially get a crack at 13, depending on sort of other options there, but his training is so good. A bloke who's a front rower / back rower to be winning all the fitness is pretty special. We've got Will Abaraj as well. Forgot to mention him. He was there last year.
Yeah, he was good.
He's
last
a big
year.
Unit.
Played half the year last year, then got a sort of a hand injury, a thumb injury, but he's back. He's training really well too. So the opportunities there are really good.
Any surprises there that you didn't sort of think we're going to make the team, that are a chance to make the team, mate?
Not really. We've got a trial next weekend, so it's going to be interesting to see how some of those boys actually go when it's a proper game in the trial. They can train as good as they want, but it's not going to mean a great deal unless they can actually perform on the field. But pretty much all those boys have surprised me in a way because they've all improved in a lot of areas. And then guys like TJ Herring, TJ is a hooker, but hasn't missed a training session, gets there early, practices passing before training, he's there after training. He hasn't surprised me, but he's impressed just in his attention to detail and working on his craft constantly.
He's been
pushed with Jordan Plath, another fella that they got down related to the Plath from the Broncos.
John Plath, that's his
boy. Him and TJ have formed a pretty good relationship and they're sort of working together before training, after training on their passing.
They're both hookers.
So, but they've become really good mates, so that's been good to see.
Yeah, great competition for them.
You would have played against Plathy?
Yeah, I did, mate. Yeah, he was a great little player, John Plath, for the mighty Brisbane Broncos in that great side, the late 80s, early 90s. He was a good bench player, Johnny Plath. Always coming off the bench, but they had a super side, the Broncos back then. Alfie Langer, Kevin Walters, Kerrod Walters.
Jordan's a nine, but he's doing some reps at seven as well. So
has he got a brother that's playing
Max,
with the Dolphins?
Max, he plays with the Dolphins,
Yeah, I thought so.
Talent, mate. Now, you can have the best forwards in the world, but if your halves aren't taking advantage of that field position and that dominance in the middle of the field, it's not going to result in a W, mate. How are the halves shaping up?
Well, one of the halves was Brandon Thompson, and he's the one that did his groin, so he had hernia surgery, I believe. So he's the one that's going to be gone for a little while. And then we've got young Fieldsy, Craig Fields, young boy Jack. So he's moved down from Tweed on a train and trial. So Fieldsy's a half fullback. But he's had a few issues in the preseason. Like he had a head knock, so he had to go through the HIA protocols. Then he did his hamstring, and then he came back and he sort of tweaked it again now. Mm. So he's had a bit of an inconsistent preseason, but he's there in the halves. He looks good. He's sharp. But Brent Hawkins probably is the one that has been really, really impressive, to be fair. Like Brent got a taste of flag last year after the ball finished and played, I think, maybe 10 or 11 games as a starting seven for us and handled himself really well. Yeah. But I said Louis's probably been the most impressive in terms of the forwards, but Brent's been up there as well, really fit, just a genuine half, like plays really straight. He's a leader, as you were talking about before, chaps. He's identified himself and sort of we found him as a bit of a leader just with his actions and his words. And just I've really liked the look of Brent, and all the coaching staff have sort of made mention to me when they've run drills and that how impressed they've been with Brent and the way he's coming along. So yeah, hopefully Brent can be good for us this year. We've obviously got we've got Jamie Thorpe as well. He's a train and trial fella. So Jamie's been good. Obviously the acid test will be for those sorts of boys in the trial next week, how they aim up, because not all the train and trial boys are guaranteed to stay. So he's obviously needs to play quite well there, and we need to see something there to keep him. And then we've obviously got Emmanuel Di Bartolo, as you mentioned. So I haven't seen him in the pre-season, but he's done a lot of reps in the halves and at fullback, I believe. So he'll play a bit of flag. And then potentially even Jai Gray. I don't know what the plans with Jai are. So Jai could play with us. He might play Carp. So they're sort of the options, I'd imagine. Plathy, as I said, 9-7.
Well, when you go through the halves and you're trying to put a team together, obviously the... well, we're saying that Cody and Lockie will start at 7 and 6, and then you've probably got Dean and Dion. So you might be a big chance to get Jai Gray back for the early rounds, pending form and injuries.
And it'll depend what sort of they want to do with him, where they see him progressing as an NRL player and that sort of stuff, and whether he is a 14 for Cup, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
he might be.
But yeah, like hopefully for us, you know, we'll get him for a bit of time, because obviously he's a great player and he's going to add a lot to our team if we get him. But
you had him last year for a couple of games?
Yeah, so obviously he had a bit of an injury play season last year with his hamstrings and stuff like that. But he played a fair few games for us and he's really good, like electric. And
pretty explosive, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why he does his hamstring, you know. But yeah, so fast and a leader, you know, like talks, gets into the boys when they need it. But yeah, really, really good young fella.
You spoke about Jai Gray. You got Leon LeBlanc can play in your team.
Yeah.
Tommy Fletcher.
Yeah.
Hazen Mellers, Ty Munro, they all qualify for that age group. So it's a fair rap on the development of South Sydney Rabbitohs at the moment to be able to have those guys sitting up at higher levels. Mm.
No, 100%. And we've said it many times before that the pathway system's in a good spot. And Joe O'Callaghan has done a tremendous job over the last couple of years, and yourself, Tippy, you're on the back of it now.
I think we've got Leon Tehau and Terrell Kalakalo that are flag eligible too. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully, like we get a couple of those during the year. But whatever happens, we'll be out there doing our best.
Fair squad. Now, what about out wide, mate? We've got any finishers in this squad, mate?
There's probably a few there. The bloke that, and I don't want to sort of, I'm reluctant to leave people out, but like Carson Kao has been so good. You guys would know Carson well. He's always been an outstanding finisher, good yardage carrier. Played majority of games for us last year. Played round one as a fullback, and then he played the majority of the year on the wing. But in the preseason, he's been doing reps in the centres. He's been doing reps at fullback. But he's just an athlete. Like he moves so well, and he's got skill, and he's a real leader too. Like he doesn't say a lot, Cass, but when he does, the boys follow, you know. So I've been. He looks like he's a specimen. He's like so athletic, and
he's getting bigger and stronger.
Yeah, he just looks really sharp. Dane Towns has been impressive too. Like Dane, he's fairly light in terms of his body weight, but as a footballer, he just glides around the field. He's just got something special, Dane. You know, we just got to get him to talk a little bit more and to work on a few areas that we've sort of targeted with him. But But he's good. He hasn't missed a training session, Dane, and he just rips into everything he does. And
he's very well balanced, isn't he, when he runs?
He's just got a footy awareness, you know. When he moves, he's got something. And the other one that's probably impressed me a little bit, without leaving people out, we've got Max Martin. So Maxi, he's from down the south coast. I think he played for North Sydney Bears SG Ball last year. Okay. And then he might have played for one of those South Coast Collegians or West Wollongong, one of those teams down there, I believe. And he's like a centre winger, but he's only a second behind Louis in the Bronco. So he's really fit, athletic, not huge, but just fast, fit, great talker, very coachable. So yeah, it's been impressive to see Max in the preseason too.
Maxie Martin, yeah, don't know too much about him. There you go.
Yeah, mate. We can talk as much as you want, but it's all about trial form and leading into round one. New South Wales Cup had a trial last week, NRL this week, but you guys aren't trialing this week. Next week is your first trial.
Yeah, so the 17th of February, we're trialing against Manly. I think at this stage it might be after the SG Ball game at Redfern. But yeah, that'll be our first opportunity to get onto the field. That trial will be used more so to give all the train and trial boys a really good opportunity. I don't think we'll use our whole squad in that trial. Definitely want to see how the train and trialists go. Obviously, we've started to implement a few game strategies and that type of thing, so we're not going to be sort of at our best in that particular day, but it's more about looking at our pre-season and the stuff that we've focused on to see how they're going in those few areas that we've targeted. And yeah, hopefully the boys compete well and they tackle well and they work for one another. And yeah, and then I think we trial the week after that on the 24th against Tigers. So that trial will be used more, sort of probably use our best sort of 20, 21, 22 players, guys that we think are a chance to play in round one, because that'll be our last trial. I think then we have a week off into round one.
Okay.
So we've only got the two trials.
And round one, it's probably looking a bit far ahead, but once again, you play the Manly. Seagulls. Yeah.
Play Manly, yeah. And then you're into the Silvertails. That's going to be an interesting one, huh?
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Like playing Manly in the trial and then actually playing him in round one a few weeks later.
2 weeks later.
So, yeah, that'll
be interesting. First grade's doing it this weekend. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to look too far ahead, but the Manly game will be a tough one. Yeah, like jersey flag form's always hard to gauge too. You know, like what they did last year is completely irrelevant. Every club picks up many new players, new staff, so you can't really gauge much on what they did last year. And even looking at the trials, I don't sort of look too much into the trial form either. I think round one's all about getting your team best prepared, and as long as we're doing the things that we speak about close to the best of our ability, that'll give us a good shake against anyone, I reckon.
And Fiji, you're actually playing in Fiji against the,
the
Silvertails round two.
That'll I know, that's going to be a tough one. The boys are excited about it. It's their first home game, so they're making a big deal of it over there. I know there's going to be a fair bit of media at the game, and I believe Manoa's going over there as a special guest.
Yeah, they're trying to. I spoke to Stevie Driscoll about this competition only a couple of weeks ago, and they're trying to name a game after a player that played for both clubs, and obviously Manoa, well, not to say played for both clubs, but he's Fijian and he played for the Rabbitohs, so they're going to call it the Manoa Thompson Cup. And once again, when you're playing at Redfern, only a couple of weeks later, I think, there'll be a presentation there on that day. So we're going to get Stevie Driscoll on the show and he'll tell us a little bit more about that competition for the Silvertails.
I dare say, is this the first South Sydney Rabbitohs team to ever play a real competition match in Fiji?
I'd say, chaps,
you've got the honour of being the coach of that, mate. I'm going to have to talk to the club historian, mate, Marco Sivis at the SS Almanac, if you wanted to jump on there and look about anything South Sydney, it's a great web page to have a look at. But yeah, there you go. We might have uncovered something here on the podcast. Eh?
Pretty sure it's going to be a bit of an ambush over there too. They're going to have a big crowd.
Be nice and cold too, right?
Yeah, so it's going to be, I think we fly in maybe the night before, play the game and come straight home. But there's going to be a lot of fanfare over there. So it's going to be a tough challenge for the boys. Yeah,
they love their footy, don't they?
It'd be great to take the culture in of the Fijians. They're beautiful people.
Yeah.
Everyone's probably been there on a holiday at some stage. I remember going over there and my kids are sort of all carrying on the flight. I had a 2-year-old and this giant Fijian bloke picked her up. It's the only time she never cried the whole flight.
Yeah.
She's looked at him like that.
On the carver, chaps?
Yeah, got on the carver. Yeah, that was a good little go, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I enjoy it. Have a bit with Manoa.
Yeah, Manoa loves it, doesn't he?
He loves it.
He has a bit.
You got a clap.
has a bit before he goes and plays golf, doesn't he? But yeah. And what about the great Kel O'Brien, the Bear, mate?
Kel,
what's he add to this squad? He's a sort of bloke that really can get the best out of someone.
I should have actually mentioned Kel in the past Marsden College greats as well, because Kel was one of those. But he left in Year 10 to start a trade, and obviously worked with his dad, and now runs his own electrical business. But like, Kel's outstanding for a young fella. Like, the passion that he displays and the knowledge that he's got of rugby league is sort of way above his age. Like, I actually had a little bit to do with Kel when he was young. So those 2 years I had at the Roosters, Kel was in one of the teams I coached over there, in my Harold Matts team. So Kel sort of knew the style of coach that I was. I sort of trained him a little bit hard. I was probably a bit full on in those days. But Kel's always prided himself on being just tough, hard, like fit, just got everything out of his body. And I hadn't seen him that much, and then that year when he captain coached Southeast and they undefeated the whole year, sorry Kel, but then lost the GF, yeah. As Brent tells the story many times, but I saw what a good job he'd done there.
He had a good game that day.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
he was picked one off his shoelace as a score, and yeah, it was one of those things, you know.
He nearly got him home, yeah.
So when I kind of got the fleet job, I was sort of looking at, is there anyone that I could get maybe to come along and give me a hand in some sort of capacity? And then I think I bumped into Kel's brother Aaron coming home from the South Roosters game. And I said, what's Kel up to? Is he interested? And I've just got this South job. And he said, I'll ask him. And then Kel and I got talking. And he said, I'd love to get involved if I can get an opportunity. And then originally he spoke to Joe, and Joe and Ello knew him from when he played at South, I believe. And they said, yeah, we'll get him on as one of the development coaches. So he'd be working with Flegg, but not as the actual assistant. Like the blue shirt trainer, development coach. But then the guy who was going to be the assistant ended up pulling the pin. So Kel sort of went out of the dev job straight up into like the assistant, and he did an amazing job. Like, he ran the blue shirt, and having a bloke who's so young and still fit and can relate to the players, you know, is really good to have on your staff, because sometimes when I'm telling them stuff, as you would know, they probably look at me and think, mate, you're not even playing anymore, you know. Like, how did you know? And Kel's got the experience because he's sort of still doing it. So I think that helps a lot. And he's really good with the forwards. And this year he's taken on a bit more of a hands-on role with the defence particularly. But, yeah, he's like, he juggles his work with coming to train, and he does a lot of video sort of review and preview. And, yeah, he just loves it. So I'm stoked that he's on board again.
Mate, will he run the blue shirt as well, or will he be just assistant?
So this year, the way they've structured it, so there's myself and then Kel's one assistant, and Mick Habib is another assistant who's come on board this year. So Mick's come from fairly extensive sort of coaching career with Newtown.
I played with Mick.
Yeah, so yeah. Mick's an assistant. And then they've got a designated blue shirt now. So I think Eddie Payer is going to run our blue shirt. So Eddie's assistant for the Harold Matts, but when that finishes, I think the plan's for Eddie to come up and run our blue shirt. So that'll be good once he gets through his Matt's commitment.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll go a long way, which I'm pretty sure they will. Then having another sort of ex-NRL player, bloke who's really experienced, I think that's going to make our team even better.
Especially in the halves as well.
100% kicking and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're right, mate. I think they're going to go a long way after looking at round one results and the way they set that win up. It was actually, you look at the score and thought, oh, they flogged them straight away. Man, it was after 15, they were on their line three or four times. So absorbed a lot of pressure, turned around and had the counter punch to, and then went right on with it. Look, South Sydney Juniors are a sponsor of ours, Tippy, and I know you did mention that Keith McCraw sort of give you your first opportunity. Tell us a little bit about what South Juniors means to this rugby league community, mate.
Like, growing up, South Juniors had always had this reputation of just being like a powerhouse. I remember the club itself was always thriving. The amount of junior league clubs that were all thriving, the amount of good footballers that were coming out of this district, it's always had a reputation as being, yeah, one of the powerhouses in Australia, I reckon. Obviously, the changing demographic has probably weakened some of the junior clubs, and some of those are now no longer. But South Juniors itself is huge. All the fellas on South Juniors, from Keith down, and all the board members have done such a great job. They love rugby league. They're all about just giving to the community. You see them out at sort of junior rep games. They're at all the junior league games, and it just means so much to this community to have such a supportive club like South Juniors, you know, and the connection between the juniors and the seniors. I know that's sort of strengthened. It's gone through some ups and downs over history, but now I believe that they're in a good place. And yeah, I'm just so happy that the juniors is sort of such a important part of our area where we live.
Yeah, and I know we talk about the pathways and it starts from the Harold Mats, but it starts at a younger age, and I think you might have spoke about it earlier, Tip, the junior bunnies, and they go on trips away, they go down the snow, they play, you know, Group 16, they go the yep. Northwest Tour. It's a really good community and a great pathway for a young kid who aspires to play.
I remember, Brownie, going to the snow when I was with the 15s bunnies, and I know there's the long weekend at Easter, which might be the one you're talking about at Kempsey, and then there's the Northwest Tour for the boys that don't make the rep team, so they take other boys up there. And still, I don't know, is it still true it's the only junior league where they don't pay for their shorts and socks? The juniors cover it all, like little things like that is like insurance. So good.
Yep.
Yeah,
they certainly are a proud tradition, and those away trips that you're talking about, that it just happened. This is been put together from years and years and decades of structures that have been put together by all the previous administrations, carried on by the ones now. So we thank you for all your support. NGFAR Real Estate's another sponsor, foundation sponsor, Bunnaby Water, Darrell Lee, major sponsor, Blast Pit Gym down there at Little Bay.
Site Pizza.
Great spot to go for recovery. Yep, Site Pizza's just jumped back on board. Oz Snow, the biggest tour operator in the Southern Hemisphere, got resorts in New Zealand, New South Wales, Victoria. I know Japan is just having one of the bumper years it's ever had since Oz Snow has put a few resorts over there. And our new sponsor, right?
Ramos.
Brazilian born, Mark Ramos. Ramos Bricklaying. Family owned and operated business. If you need any bricklaying, please jump on their Instagram page, Ramos Bricklaying, and give them a call.
I jumped on his page, chaps. Some great jobs that he's doing over the Bondi Way and Maroubra.
He's done a few good jobs down Maroubra there. I think that toilet block down there, South Maroubra, you know the new one there?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, they did all the brick work down there. If you have, next time you're down there, check out their work if you got a little build coming up. Tippy, I'm not sure if you're might get him up Marshall. We'll get him up there anyway.
Tippy, I was talking to a great mate of yours. He reckons he taught you everything you know, and we just have to give him a mention on the show. Matty Madden, tell us a little bit about the great man.
I had 3 missed calls from him today.
Yeah.
So on my way here, I actually rang him and he said, "Where are you going?" And I told him where I was going. I said, "Yeah, I knew that. I saw Brownie today." He knows everything about everything, Matt. But he is my best mate. But yeah, as loyal as they come. He does. He loves his rugby league too, Matty. You know, he's a generous fella and he's looked after a lot of people over a long time. I know he was tied up with the juniors for a bit for a while. I know he was doing the cleaning here at one point. I think they were sponsoring the juniors. I think that might be the Wombats' major sponsor now, Command 51. But he's done a lot for the community as an individual, and he's a good fellow, Matty.
Yeah, he's very generous in terms of sponsorships and you know, handing out funds for the community. It's he's a good man, Matty.
I know the Wombats are trying to still wrestle together in A-grad, and he's meant to be all over that. Don't worry about that. He'll be trying to get something together. Now, that might be all she wrote here on Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. I'd like to thank you, Tippy, for coming in, and I wish you and your team and your coaching staff there all the best for the season, and I'm sure we'll touch base during the season once it kicks off, and we might get a couple of recaps and a couple of previews of some games, mate.
Yeah, I wish you all the best, Tip, early on in the year, and just keep developing them players, mate. I'm sure you get a big thrill out of it when they make the top grade.
Yeah, thanks, boys. It's been a pleasure to be here. Hopefully we make the club proud this year. And as you said, Brownie, if we're developing some NRL players, I'll be really happy with that. But, yeah, I'm excited about the year.
That might be it for another edition of Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. Up the
Up the Rabbitohs.
To Coop with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
Slate, one-handed pass back for Fenwick, back for Coleman, on a note for the lock forward, Michael Andrews is in under the post.
Six.